Hi, this is Pat Gelsinger, CEO of VMware, and you are listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 56, special VMworld edition. John, what a week, my friend.
I'm exhausted.
Whew. Yeah, it was a long week. I think the highlight of my trip, I think, was the very last day I was in your session, a day in the life of a vSAN IO, and you were at the very end of your session exhausted, and you kept saying, what was the word you couldn't say?
Space savings.
Oh, you said that so clearly and slowly, I might add.
Yeah, I was like slurring my words. People were like, does this guy have too much fun in Vegas? Like, what's going on? No, I was just tired.
That's what happens when you have like 12 meetings, 10 sessions, and also 15 podcasts. So good for you, John.
Ugh.
Anyway, yeah. So speaking of the interviews, we got a ton of great content out there. We were over at the HCI Zone, which was in the far back right corner. Got to meet a lot of really cool people, some folks that are good friends of the show. Also got to meet a lot of new folks. Some folks that I was looking forward to meeting, which was, Home Labber we met, Darren Zook, Tony Reeves, Yadin Porter from In Tech We Trust, Joe Tok, Paul McSherry. There's so many cool folks that listen and that, you know, have just been real good supporters and also like major vSAN experts. So that was kind of cool. But we also got a chance to interview a ton of folks. And so we cannot do this 10-hour episode of all the content that we captured. But the goal is to get those out, you know, throughout the year. But we did get some really cool interviews that are, I think, a little bit more timely that we're going to share with you on this VMworld recap. And so the first interview that we grabbed on Monday was from a return visitor of the podcast, Michael Dell. Now, Michael Dell obviously being the CEO and founder of Dell Technologies, but also the main guy for the largest tech event in the planet, VMworld 2017. You know, that's a lot to have on your plate. Now, add to that the fact that, like yourself, John, he's from Houston. We all know this week, Houston suffered a pretty big hurricane, Hurricane Harvey, causing major floods and displacing, 30,000 folks? So that's a lot to consider. And I wasn't really sure how this interview was going to go. And, I thought it was, it turned out to be a really interesting conversation with Michael, not only about VMworld 2017, but also about what's going on in Houston. So here, take a listen. All right. Well, joining us today is our boss again, Michael Dell. Michael, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, great to be with you guys. Great to be here at VMworld.
Yeah. And so the big question is, did you think McGregor was going to last 10 rounds or?
I actually didn't. But I was pleasantly surprised at how good of a fight it was. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a great night.
We got our money's worth. So there we go.
Yeah. I saw some pictures of you online. I think one was with Mike Tyson.
We ran into the champ as we were walking out, and he was very gracious to take a picture with me and my son. And we just had a great night.
That's awesome.
It was very fun.
Well, awesome. VMworld against it. Is this your first VMworld as the boss of all of Dell Technologies?
Well, you know, I was here last year. Let's see. Had we closed the transaction at that point?
It was so close.
I don't remember. Maybe we had okay. I think we hadn't closed the transaction, but
Is this kind of like you buy a car and like the paperwork's still pending, but they'll let you drive it off the lot?
Something like that.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, yeah, you could drive it around, but it's not actually yours. But yeah, so we're now at the 1 year anniversary of the close of the combination, and I'm just really delighted at how well things are going. You know, and you see it here on the show floor. You see it in the customer response to all the innovations that VMware is driving. And, you know, the more we do with VMware as Dell EMC, the better it gets. It's kind of like peanut butter and chocolate. You know, they just go really well together.
Absolutely. I agree completely. So the big topic this week has been VMware Cloud on AWS. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that technology. It's an interesting way to do cloud. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts about that.
Well, first of all, very pleased to see how everything has come together. And I first learned about this even before we announced the intent to combine. So this has been going on for quite some time. It's been in the planning and in the works, and to see it all come together is great. A little bit of perspective on this, you know, when I go back to the origins of VMware, right? When Dell was the first server vendor to embrace VMware.
Yep.
And it sort of takes a bit of a philosophy in terms of, well, if something is really good for customers, if you stand in the way of it, that's usually not a good thing. And that turned out to be very much the case with VMware, with server virtualization. And I think, you know, with cloud and AWS, you could apply the same principles. We certainly believe that it's a multi-cloud world. It's not this or that, right? You know, it's this and that.
Right.
And, you know, certainly combining the number one public cloud, the number one private cloud, you're also seeing VMware connect and do more with the other public clouds. But certainly, you know, AWS as the leader, it's great to see it all come together.
I love that customers are driving the partnerships. It's not necessarily just, you know, in the back rooms, you know, smoke and cigars, you know, making the decisions. It's customers are saying, I work with these two companies. I need you both to work together. You know, as mentioned, you know, the other clouds, we've got the Horizon on Azure that was announced, as well as also the work we're doing with SoftLayer and the 3,500 other VCAN partners, VirtuStream and OVH and others. It's just customers are driving us to work with, you know, their cloud provider that they've chosen for different reasons. So,
well, you know, I think you should always design your company from the customer back. And, you know, one of my favorite questions to ask customers is, what are the big unsolved problems that you have that nobody's figured out how to solve yet? And I think companies that have big ears that listen are likely to do a lot better, right? You know, and we don't go in the corner and invent stuff up by ourselves. You know, we're fortunate to have hundreds of thousands, millions of customers, and they actually tell us, right? You know, they tell us what to do, and we listen. And you know, for me, starting in my dorm room to now, you know, come here to VMworld 2017, I think, you know, it was my ears that helped me the most, you know?
Yeah, any good leader has to be a listener, right? You have to be able to listen to your people.
Absolutely.
So we asked some of our listeners, Michael, you know, what questions they wanted to hear from you. And, you know, we got a ton of different questions. Some of them were too nerdy for me even. But one of the questions that came out more than once and I thought it would be interesting to hear is, when you're not thinking about Dell Technologies and when you're not working on something around the business, what excites you? You know, what do you do outside of the Dell Technologies world?
Well, you know, I've got a great family. You know, I think about my wife. I think about my kids. I think about, you know, all the things that they're doing in their lives. You know, my wife and I also have a pretty significant foundation that we set up almost 20 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, we think about how do we make a big impact in the world with our foundation and, you know, helping kids in urban poverty. And, you know, the last couple of days, I've been thinking a lot about my hometown.
Yeah.
My hometown of Houston, Texas. Actually, when I got back to the room last night, I turned on the TV, which I normally wouldn't do before going to sleep, but wanted to see what the situation was. And they showed a part of Houston called Meyerland. And this is actually where I grew up. I spent the first 14 years of my life there.
Okay.
And they showed the street with an apartment complex. And I literally rode my bike past that apartment complex every day for years and years going to school. And this place is got a serious, serious problem. And it's just sad to see the devastation. So
yeah,
that's certainly been on my mind and thinking about all the people in the you know, Texas coastal region, all our customers. You know, we've proactively reached out to hundreds of thousands of customers that we serve, you know, because they are doing mission critical things, right? And across every domain you would want to think of, from government to hospitals and everything else. And how do we make sure that we help them reestablish their operations, given the disaster that's just occurred?
Well, and this is really close to home to me. My wife's actually in Houston right now. It's where I live. and she's a pediatrician, and she's actually – she can't even get to her own hospital where she's on call for, so she's having to do remote consults, use VDI to get into their environment. Thankfully, we have technology to help with some of these, but it's, you're right. It gives you chills. It's surreal to see these areas. If I drive past there, and it's now a lake, or they're rescuing people with, you know, with helicopters, and it's very surreal being here in Vegas where, you know, it's 110 degree heat, and then knowing just the suffering and everything going on back there.
That's right. And it's going to be a long time before things are back to normal there. And a lot of people have lost everything.
Yeah.
So last question for you, Michael. We're here at VMworld. What are you most excited about this week? Is there anything special that you want to either learn more about, that you want to talk to people about, that you want to hear? What's top of mind for you this week at VMworld?
Well, there's so many great announcements. We had a number of them today. We have a number tomorrow as well. I'll be participating in some of those. I don't want to reveal those quite yet.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait. But, you know, what I'm excited about is the innovation engine is on high, right? And, you know, when I've gone to the internal radio conferences at VMware and seen the engineers and seen the things they're working on, you can see it around here on the show floor in this multi-cloud world, what's going on in the digital transformation and how people are using data. You know, it's a super exciting time in the world right now. You know, and I've been fortunate to be in the industry now for about a third of a century. But boy, you know, the next third of a century, I think, will be far more exciting.
We've got a great portfolio of technologies to address it, so it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. And the you know, success we've had in this first year as Dell Technologies in bringing together all of the family, Dell EMC, VMware, Pivotal, RSA, SecureWorks, VirtuStream, Boomi, right, you know, et cetera. You know, the customers, it's really resonated. And there's a deep technical integration across the family. It's exactly what customers told us they wanted.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know, as I said, the more we do the more we do together, the better it gets.
The speed of the synergies really surprised me, because anytime you see a large merger, oftentimes there's some slight confusion in the marketplace. Customers delay orders. It takes, you know, a lot of times 2 years or more for the technology integrations to be there. But so many of those pieces were already in progress or existed on some level. Those relationships were there, and the ability to execute has been maintained. It doesn't look like there's really been any hiccup in pulling off, you know, the biggest, greatest merger of all time.
Well, thank you for that. I'm sure we've made some mistakes. I mean, we're blessed to have incredibly talented people. The revenue synergies have been more than we thought.
I mean, I remember hearing that $1 billion. I told you last time, I was like, billion, that's the vSAN synergy. What about all the other products and the other bits?
It's VMware. Yeah. But the VMware, you know, revenue synergies have been going extremely well, and you know, we're off to a great start.
Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your week at VMworld, and have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for doing this.
Yeah, no, it's really great. Not only, you know, his words there, but also, you know, his actions. He's made a $36 million donation through his foundation to help with the relief and rebuilding efforts.
Yeah, that was amazing. The Michael and Susan Dell Foundation donated $36 million to the Hurricane Harvey relief effort. So that was really impressive. So very cool stuff. So then we also had an opportunity to talk to one of the VPs in our group, Lee Caswell. I've known Lee a long time. This guy has been visionary for years. I mean, when I was back at NetApp, when everybody was still, you know, trying to do this hybrid technology with spinning Rust and Flash, he was one of the early folks to really push all Flash. And so he's been quite a visionary, and he's definitely been pounding the HCI drum for quite a while here at VMware. And so we had a chance to catch up with him, talk to him a little bit about the AWS partnership with VMware, and also what his thoughts on sort of what HCI is. And so here's Lee.
Lee, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, delighted to be here.
So been a pretty busy week at VMworld, right?
Oh my goodness. It's been terrific.
Every time I see you, it's like you're double timing it across the one side of the showroom floor to the next.
I think this is hyper-converged our team, pretty much. That's the way it looks.
So Lee, why don't you tell us real quickly, like some first impressions, some thoughts about this year's VMworld? Anything sticking out to you?
You know, there are a couple of things. One that really stuck in my mind, right, was on day one, where Andy Jassy was talking about we've got these binary options that customers have been faced with, right?
Let's roll the tape on that.
As more and more mainstream enterprises have started making their long-term plans in the cloud, they would say to us, it's great that you've built a bunch of tools that make it easy for us to run our on-premises data centers alongside AWS. But since most of the world is virtualized on VMware, and since AWS and VMware haven't really done anything to integrate seamlessly, you're forcing us into this binary choice where either we move to the cloud with AWS and we can't use the VMware tools we've been using for a long time, or we stick with the VMware tools and it's much harder to use AWS in the cloud. And they hated this binary decision that we were forcing on them.
I mean, to hear him say it is more important than us saying it, I think, was that, you know, they're looking at it from their side. We clearly see it from our side, right? And the idea that we're resolving that conflict, right? And that then people can go and make choices.
Yeah.
And then to follow it up on day two with Google, right? I mean, seriously, it was like too good to be true, right?
We have all the clouds now. All of the clouds.
So, I mean, that level of resolving this, right? Because nobody knows how this – is it a journey? Are some people going to be only one place, only another place? We don't know exactly. So I thought that was incredibly powerful. And then – as storage guys, the thing we care about is like, well, wait a minute. What's the data structure underneath each one of those, right? Because it's the data, right, that has to move and the data that has to be sovereign, right, and managed. And the idea that vSAN is part of every one of those announcements and every one of those, that's super exciting.
Absolutely. I feel like the main word of this conference has been HCI.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That wasn't the case last year or even the year before, but it's really becoming the topic of conversation for just about everybody.
Also, what's interesting is it's less about how does HCI work. That's what we talked about last year, right? Like, hey, tell me again, like I'm aggregating storage that looks like DAS into like shared storage and consolidating. And this year it was two things. I was talking to a large bank this morning over breakfast and he's wrestling, you know, they have not just storage, but they have mainframe, right? I mean, all of these different things. He says, the one ask and takeaway at the end of the meeting was, he said, can you give me the org chart of people who have implemented HCI? I don't need the names. I just want to see, like, how are people organizing around this? Because the idea that I'm hyper-converging IT, I'm consolidating management so that you can be more agile and faster responsiveness, right? That's what they're looking for, but they have to organizationally change from just a storage group and a server group and a networking group to a... It's an IT group.
It's breaking down silos. So.
That's totally converting, right?
It's the technical and the people level. So,
yeah. I think the people level is actually one of the things that people who've moved beyond the implementation, they're starting to look at it this way, right? When you consolidated servers the first time, it was magic.
Yeah.
And it felt that way because I could consolidate servers. I bought new servers. I bought shared storage and I had money left over.
Yeah.
And it was better. Yeah. Right.
And instead of having a team for dealing with Solaris and Spark and a different team dealing with Risk or, you know, Alpha or whatever it was, you've got a team that's standardized on, you know, fewer operating systems, fewer platforms. So.
Well, and now that second wave of magic is if I can consolidate the storage into this domain as well, right? I mean, now I've got this opportunity to go and really think about managing things from a VM center out. And I know we've said that before, but people are starting to get it, that that's the lowest common denominator now. And I take VMs and, gosh, I start applying storage attributes to those, but they're incidental to the VM. And that becomes also the way I debug things, right? I start from the VM because when we've tried to debug things in the past, right, usually what happens is someone comes in, they start from the app. The app's not running the way I expect it. And they come in and they go, what did the network guy change? Right?
And it's always blaming the network.
The worst. That's where they start, right? And you're like, what did you do? Right? And that guy says, well, you know, I didn't change anything. And say, well, it must be the storage. Right?
Yep.
The storage guy is like, hey, if you just rewrote the apps, actually everything would write.
Yeah, why are you sending IO at me? Like, why are you even doing just leave me alone.
So that, and that time, as well as, let's say you want to change something. Let's say, hey, listen, I misconfigured this. I need to go and reconfigure that, right? Well, let's put a provisioning change order in, right? 2 week, 3 month. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the cycles are long.
You got to wait for the change.
So the control is really interesting. This was a takeaway for me. It was just the evidence that, hey, what's happening is we're bringing storage skills, right, into the virtualization administrator element. And this is a question for you guys.
Okay.
Because we watched the server administrator, right? I mean, his job was almost defunct before vSphere came out. There was almost nothing left to do. When ESXi came out, all of a sudden it was like, hey, I got my certification, I got a 30% pay bump, and like now all of a sudden I'm managing lots of servers and I'm doing things like DR. And
I'm a V expert.
And now you're like, hey, the storage will become an – the question is, does the cloud become the next piece of the virtualization administrator's career path?
I mean, I think we're seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of people are – they're having hybrid skill sets, so to speak. So
I'll turn the question back to you because we were doing it with Michael as well. Like from a leadership perspective, when you're looking for new people to bring on your team, what is that skill set that you look for? And I would guess it would be cloud, right? That has to be the – but I don't want to answer for you.
Listen, the latest person we hired this week was cloud. And it turns out, right, when you work with cloud vendors, and I did this in the past, right? We were taking Flash, right, and deploying that. The cloud deployed Flash way early at huge scale and not for performance of an application. People don't quite get this, right? The reason cloud deployed Flash so quickly was because they were trying to get the ultimate CPU utilization. And by doing that, if you're buying 10,000 servers a month, if you can triple your CPU utilization, you buy 2/3 less servers.
Right.
Right. Yep. I mean, it was a massive, right? And so what's happened when you start understanding how the cloud works and how cloud-like cycles work, what's got me so excited about the work we're doing on VMC and or VMware Cloud, you know, is that we're now taking all of the agility of development about the flexibility that you expect in the cloud, and we're learning from that and bringing that back, and we're doing it jointly with the leader in cloud in AWS. I mean, this is just a terrific sort of, here are the learnings we get back and we're going to be better for it. Our enterprise customers are going to benefit from it.
Absolutely. I was speaking to one of our enterprise partners last night at the vSAN party. And one of the questions.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a great party. That was a lot of
that
fun.
That was a great party.
Yeah. Beautiful venue and all that. Yeah. But yeah, one of the things he was mentioning, he's here all week and he's had multiple sessions, and he said, he's really starting to change the conversations with his customers and just trying to be much more educational about specifically what is HCI, right? Because unfortunately, just like every other technology, even virtualization initially was like people were trying to define what software-defined storage was, right? Everyone was trying to have their own spin on what software-defined storage was, what virtualization was.
And we had a lot of fads almost in storage where it's like we had storage hypervisors, there was software-defined, there was storage hypervisor. And there's been all these different kind of – and it's like, it's okay, you guys have had one product and you've called it eight different things in the past, you know, 10 years. And it's like,
So quickly, you know, 2-minute pitch here. Like, what is your opinion, your version of what hyper-converged infrastructure truly is? What makes, you know, what are some of the bottom line requirements to be HCI?
Yeah, I think the underlying element is that I'm going for single management, starting with both, you know, compute and storage. And increasingly, actually adding in networking. Now, when you do that, you start moving up the stack into SDDC, right? So it's a little bit of a, how do I evolve here? The way I see it happening, if you look at the customer adoption, right? We announced this week 10,000 customers.
Crazy.
What's happening is, you know, you want NSX and VMware Cloud Foundation to go and move workloads securely wherever they go, but vSAN pays for it. Right. If you think about it, right, we're consolidating that storage, making it possible, right? And then you can manage it right from a VM centric. So for me, here's the thing. If you still have to manage storage independently of the VM, then it's not what we're going to call HCI 3 years from now. In fact, my view of this is that similar to how type 2 hypervisors existed, right? At the time you had GSX, if you recall, we're going back a little ways.
That was actually my first interactions with VMware.
There we go, right? So that was based on workstation, right? And the idea was I've got a, you know, I'm running a hypervisor on a guest OS, and that was easy to deploy. But as soon as we had a type 1 hypervisor on bare metal, then what happened was the performance efficiencies, the management efficiencies of having a common management meant that everything else went away. And I think that's where we're going to end up on HCI, where the definition of HCI 3 years from now is going to be, it's going to be integrated in the hypervisor, or it's not going to count.
I like it. It won't exist.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Lee, I'll tell you what, it's been a great week, and we really want to extend the invitation for you to come out when you're not so busy. We'd love to actually have you on for a full episode, maybe a 30-minute deep dive on some geeking out on some hyper-converged infrastructure or whatever else is top of mind.
I love the show. It's great to see you both, and thank you so much.
Awesome, Lee. Thanks.
I just love, and I can say I too have seen this progression from discussing, you know, what vSAN is, you know, where the data mirrors and objects and all that stuff.
Yep.
To, you know, what is HCI, you know, this hyperconverged infrastructure, you know, convergence of storage, compute, and network virtualization. To also now, you know, higher level, I guess, consumptions of that vCloud Foundation, VMware Cloud on AWS. Just kind of seeing this progression closer and closer towards delivering, I guess, business value or the application.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, always good to have Leon. We need to get him on. He's like, he's one of those VPs that's not just a VP. Like, he'll nerd out with you for like an hour talking about, you know, every single piece to whether it's storage, whether it's, you know, business, whether it's hyper-converged infrastructure. So we definitely need to get him back on. Then next up was our own CEO. Great to have Pat Gelsinger join us. That guy, amazing. I mean, it's great to have a CEO that is like so nerdy, but also, you know, really, really pushes culture for VMware. Definitely one of my favorite CEOs. What about you, John?
Again, I always say culture comes from the top. And he's both, you know, humble and passionate about the technology. He's just a great leader to look up to and to try to emulate in behaviors. I also realized, Pat, I think we had half the org chart above us actually on the podcast last week. So
yeah, we were definitely top heavy last week, which was definitely interesting. But yeah, Pat shared a little bit about the Google, which surprised me. I didn't hear about that till like several days before VMworld. That was definitely a tight secret kept. Did you know about it?
I was going to say, I know everything.
Of course you do.
I know all. I know all. I'm the all-seeing eye of the storage. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I had heard some rumors. I mean, it only makes sense that we have a presence in every major public cloud.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and by the way, I've already got my feelers out for some Pivotal experts to come on and to really talk the whole Kubernetes and that whole partnership. I think that's going to be an interesting play for VMware. I mean, you know, we've got Amazon, you know, like you said, we've got all the clouds. I thought that was a great way of putting it. So, yeah, here's Pat Gelsinger.
John, you know what today is?
Bring your boss to work day.
It's bring your boss to work day, my friend. We've got Pat Gelsinger here at VMworld 2017 at the HCI booth. Patrick, Mr. Gelsinger, how you doing, sir?
Mr. Gelsinger, that's my dad, right? Just to let you know. So while he's still on this good earth, right, he's Mr. Gelsinger and I'm just Pat.
I love it. I love it. Before we even get started with VMworld, I definitely wanted to say awesome that you wrote the prologue to Frank Denerman's book, Host Resources Deep Dive. I knew that you worked at Intel. I had no idea that you were this much of a nerd, though. This is serious. This is serious.
Well, you know, 30 years at Intel and literally every processor since from the 286 up through the Haswell Broadwell generation of CPUs I worked on in some capacity. So now the Skylake generation at Intel is the first one that I didn't work on in some way. So, I mean, that's a whole lot of processors and a few other things like USB and Wi-Fi along the way. So, yeah, it's been a pretty fabulous career.
I'd say.
Well, I love the journey of this, you know, because we talk about software-defined data center, software-defined storage. None of this would be possible without the hardware revolution, without the hardware being available. If we were still, you know, on single-core processors and things like that, none of us would be here today. So,
well, you know, the whole and the whole cloud thing fundamentally, you know, if you think about it, you know, multi-core processors and a standardized x86, you know, almost everything has been enabled by, you know, standardized, you know, low-cost compute capacity. Mm-hmm. And like one of the stories I like to tell is, you know, everybody's like gaga over AI and ML today, and it really is cool. But when I was architecting the 486, so this is 1985, 86, I'm architect number one in the 486. My product manager comes in and he starts yelling. He says, "We must make the 486 a great AI chip." This is 1986,
wow.
85, right? It's the era, you know, of companies like Lisp and Thinking Machines and so on, really, you know, way, way ahead of their time at that point. And sort of the core algorithms for machine learning and AI were sort of set in place in that era. The only problem was they had neither the compute capacity nor the data to make it interesting.
Yeah.
And so what's happened now is that we have capacity of compute and data at scale. You know, some refinement of the algorithms and some of the deep machine learning stuff or advancements in sort of how you can, you know, I'll say, you know, have neural networks be self-programming and so on. And those are, you know, cool ideas, you know, but fundamentally it's 30 years later and now it's exploding.
It's incredible.
Because compute capacity is available at scale. And,
yeah,
you know, to me, it's, you know, having laid many of those foundations, it's just really fabulous to see.
I completely agree. That's awesome. So, you know, we've been listening, we've been hearing a lot about VMware Cloud on AWS for sure. But then this week, I didn't even know that there was going to be an announcement around Google. What was that about?
Oh, well, you know, the Google thing was interesting because, you know, we've been working on what we need to do to really have a much more substantive container strategy. And containers, obviously, you know, a value proposition for app development, deployment, you know, being able to package and lifecycle manage and so on. So that's been very cool. And obviously, we've been doing some things in Photon and Vic and so on and getting some of those things away. But, you know, it's just sort of been these little piecemeal things that have been starting to gain momentum. And then with Pivotal, right, we sort of said, okay, can we take what they're doing with Kubo, you know, Kubernetes and Bosch,
yep.
combine it particularly with NSX, with many of the other VMware technologies around it, you know, but those three, you know, Kubernetes, Bosch, and NSX sort of forming the core to really have a container-focused capability. And that really seemed to light up in people's mind in the industry and became sort of this, as I say, you know, between the dev and DevOps world and the IT and operations world, the bridge between those two worlds. And obviously, since Google right, really created in many regards, you know, many of the core technologies in this space and running containers at a greater scale than anybody else on the planet, you know, the creators and, you know, really government, you know, through CNCF really driving the evolution of containers, having them join us here as well sort of was like the perfect trio. And, you know, very powerful message to the market that, hey, the company that really created, you know, containers, you know, partnering with Pivotal, who probably is doing, I'll say, agile programming and enterprise and Java and Spring and, you know, really capturing the market. And then the infrastructure capabilities of VMware really is a very powerful trio coming together. So a lot of excitement about that.
It's just great to see how security was really been one of the missing pieces. And we're able to pull that in so that way we can bring that stuff out of dev and into production.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously in, you know, most of the container development today is, you know, as exciting as that has been, you know, the security and the networking elements of that, you know, are really like sort of, you know, as I say, it's like sort of circa, you know, 1990 or 2000. I mean, you're still connecting ports and doing very basic kind of things. And now to be able to do, you know, the most advanced networking possible with NSX in an automated programming way and all the security benefits that come with that, you know, very exciting.
Absolutely. No, I mean, this is great. We're now, we've got a piece in a place in all of the major clouds. But I love how they're different. They're differentiated services with all the major cloud partners.
Yeah, and I really, you know, if you think about the four big ones, you know, IBM, you know, what they're doing is they, you know, IBM Cloud and really sort of hitting the core of, you know, the where IBM and GTS, what they've been doing for customers and really that enterprise, you know, cultivated workloads and the biggest of the big customers. And then you put next to that Azure and what we're doing around the Horizon as a service.
Yep.
Sort of like VDI, it's sort of like, and anybody who's running VDI today, most of the apps they run are Microsoft-related apps in some fashion. So running that in the Microsoft cloud, you know, okay, that makes sense. Checkbox. And Amazon, you know, the core, you know, public cloud IaaS vendor, you know, really the company that created, you know, some public-private coming together for the seamless hybrid IaaS. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Huge excitement about that. And then sort of the sleeper, the unknown, the unexpected with the Google container partnership. So, you know, we really have very substantive relationships. You know, really growing extremely nicely across all four. So a lot of excitement.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Another thing I heard, a term I was not familiar with until like about a week ago, this is cyber hygiene. Heard a lot of people talking about that this week. What exactly is that?
Well, the idea there is really simple. And almost all cyber breaches, Sony, OPM, Target, you know, all the big ones, it wasn't hard stuff. It wasn't like there was some cryogenic quantum computer that cracked your cyber, you know, techniques. It was like basic stuff. You know, there was a phishing attack, a password, I got inside, you know, horizontal APT movement, and boom, you know, I found some records in the clear, right, and I was able to be exfiltrated. I mean, it's very, you know, these are the basics. So the idea is very simple that says, you know, we have to sort of like a sports team. You practice the basics, you get really good at them, and you win championships.
Right.
So here, you know, we just have to make it really easy, really standard for people to do the basics really well. You know, and the five things we said is one is multi-factor authentication,
yep.
right? You steal my password, you got nothing if you don't have a second or third factor to go with it. The second, implementing of a consistent deployment of least privilege. Right. You know, hey, you know, if the app doesn't, you know, doesn't need access, it doesn't have it. You know, very simple. If you don't have access to that service, you don't get it, you know, by as a design principle. Micro segmentation. Right. You get inside of the lobby of a bank. You've gotten nowhere. You have many layers. It's protected. You know, everything speaks to everything in compartmentalized and managed ways. Encryption of data. Right. You know, if you get inside and steal my data, you've got nothing but an encrypted bag of bits. Right. You need to have, you know, the keys to be able to replicate it. And any application that has critical data, you know, can never be in the clear. You know, and finally, consistent software patch and update. And you know, anytime, and you know, so every breach, you know, you see that there's just like
no,
what a
known
cry
issues,
and
known issues.
Yeah, exactly. Right, you know, someone like that. So again, if you do those five things, and there's nothing magic about these, but in the mobile cloud world, they become essential. And in an SDI world, software, you know, delivered infrastructure, they're now possible.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
that really is so everybody should be doing those things. And it really needs to become, you know, a common expectation of governments, right, companies and tech companies. We are going to make that a standard way that we operate.
Awesome. Last question before we let you go, Pat. I was wondering if you had any good conversations with customers, anything that sticks out for you this week that maybe is top of mind for you?
Well, to me, you know, I think we just got to raise sales quotas dramatically after this week to our sales force, you know, because every conversation I had, you know, every one of them, we've opened up new doors of conversation. You know, customers who weren't doing NSX before, okay, now we got to do NSX. Customers who were, you know, starting to explore Amazon, okay, now we got to do VMC. You know, customers who, you know, were struggling with cyber, oh, that app defense stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So every customer conversation I've had, we've added one or two more things to the potential list. And, you know, there's just this, you know, maybe it's, you know, we got our mojo back. Some have said, others have said, wow, momentum season. You know, it's not momentum season. It is, you know, the mass momentum,
yeah.
right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're now
yeah.
feeling it. So I think, and, you know, obviously, you know, I think we touched on a, you know, a 10-year high today in our stock price. You know, everybody's sort of feeling that momentum. And as you talk to customers as well, it's sort of like, wow, you guys are showing up.
Yeah.
You can help me. And all of a sudden, you know, you are part of the way that I'm going to get to my digital future. So it's an exciting time to be part of VMware and great to be able to be on the show today.
Very cool, Pat. Thanks so much and enjoy the rest of your VMworld.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. And the last one we have, which I thought was kind of funny, John was out doing a session. And so I grabbed a couple of minutes with our buddy Duncan Epping, who came on and shared a little bit about, you know, his session, the top 10 things to know about vSAN, which was a really good session. He and Cormac did that. That was a really, really good session. I got to see that. But the funny part about that episode was you just kind of like stealth kind of snuck into the interview and just put on your headphones and like interjected yourself into the conversation. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, there kind of was some like ninja behavior. It's where we were recording was as far physically as possible from the Speaker Resource Center. So I was like, well, I could use a good jog today, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to leave you with that one. But before we do, let's do a couple of show notes here. Next week, we're going to be in Barcelona. So if you are attending Barcelona, come see us. We are in the HCI zone. I don't know if they're going to put us in the exact same spot as the Vegas layout. If they do, it was in the very far back all the way to the right. But either way, just look for HCI zone in the Solutions Exchange. And we're going to be there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And reach out to us. If you want to come and chat with John and I, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. We'd love to chat with you. And we might even have some gifts in the form of swag for you if you show up.
Sweet, sweet giveaways. I hear there might even be fidget spinners. Maybe fidget spinners?
They won't say Virtually Speaking Podcast, but I'm sure you can find 10,000 different kinds of fidget spinners at VMworld this year. I think that was the biggest swag item I saw.
Yeah, it kind of rotates. Like for a while there was Bluetooth speakers, and for a while there was like charging cables, like the 3-in-1 charging cable that would charge your phone once and then properly like implode on itself.
Yeah. I did, however, see several people walking around with some really fancy Virtually Speaking Podcast t-shirts, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did get asked questions about those. So.
Awesome. All right, so here's our last episode, and we will see you next week.
Day 3, VMworld 2017. Sitting across from me is a man with a face made for radio, Duncan Epping. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, thanks for that, Pete. I love you.
Man, it's been a busy week, and I would have to say, not blowing smoke, but I think the best session of the conference has to be the top 10 use cases for vSAN.
That was a cool session.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing that. I was doing the session with Cormac, for those who don't know, and yeah, we were discussing all of the top 10 things to know about vSAN. It was basically based on the questions that we've been having, we've been getting over the past couple of months, or probably 12 months.
Yeah.
We formed the top 10, and then we started to go over them one by one. And we had a lot of good feedback on the session, which was, you never know, right? Because there's a lot of basics that we're talking about. There's also, you know, some advanced things that we were discussing. And
yeah.
The feedback was really, really good. So, yeah, I enjoyed doing that.
So let's skip some of the basic ones. We don't have to go through the whole 10, but give me a couple of the ones that stood out, maybe generated some audience participation or questions.
You know, at the end of the sessions, we at the end of the session, received a lot of questions around the networking aspect. So we had Cormac did a section on the networking parts about multicast versus unicast.
Yeah.
Why we changed from multicast to unicast, and you know what happens during an upgrade. So when you go from version 6.0 to version 6.5 or 6.6, what happens during the upgrade when multicast is removed and we switch over to unicast? So we had a bunch of questions around that. That one was really interesting in my opinion. I thought that one was good.
Yeah.
I did one on monitoring. There was a more or less, you know, explaining to people what the monitoring options are. Everyone knows the health check, of course. I mean, the health check is available in the web client. It's very obvious. If you click around, you'll see the health check instantly. We've spoken about it in many occasions. But, you know, the health check is about what's the current state of the environment. So, you know, what else can you do to monitor the environment? So we started talking about the VM kernel observations, so the VOBs. There's a VOB D-log that you can look at. You will see all of the different events that have been triggered. Then you can set up custom alarms for those. So that was that triggered a lot of interest. We briefly discussed SexyGraph, which is a performance tool. I don't know if you ever had those guys on the show. I'm not sure if they would be interested in being on the show, but that could be a cool one because it's a really cool tool. It's something that has been developed by a bunch of guys from France.
Yeah. We haven't had them on, but we've talked about it before. It's a good idea.
And you know, these guys develop it in their spare time. Just because they love vSphere, they love vSAN, I just started creating this awesome tool. So that's that was a good one.
I thought Brian Graff made that just because of the name. But
Yeah, you would have expected that. But it wasn't him. A bunch of guys from France, and that was a cool solution. But what stood out the most to me is when we started asking questions during the session is that compared to last year, I think, you know, half of the audience was already using vSAN. And then half of that was doing vSAN in an all-flash configuration. So that was surprising. Then when we started asking around, are people doing deduplication and compression? When you do all-flash, it was roughly half of the audience that was doing deduplication compression, and the other half wasn't even doing deduplication compression. And when we started asking the questions, you know, at the end of the session, I asked a couple of guys that came up to me, why are you not doing deduplication compression? The main answer was, well, because we don't need to. It's relatively cheap at this point in time for us. Some of those guys get a really good discount apparently from the vendors, and they said, well, we're not even bothering with doing deduplication compression. Capacity doesn't cost us anything, so why would we?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're starting to slowly see a change in the industry, which is good.
Yeah, that's the way, it's amazing. We were talking to some of the flash vendors earlier this week, and it's like, they're basically saying at this point, you know, some of the NVMe drives now can even be, you know, equal if not less sometimes than traditional storage.
Yeah, that's crazy. Especially that's the weird thing. I was talking to one of the guys from Micron yesterday, and he was showing me some of the performance tests that he has been running for NVMe or all NVMe vSAN, NVMe cache, and then SAS backend or SATA backend.
Right.
And when I was talking about some of the price differences between those two, what stood out to me is that if you look at the price point of SAS versus SATA, there's still a big difference. And for NVMe, that, you know, it's the difference between SAS and NVMe is not that big.
Right.
While the difference between SATA and SAS is relatively large. But what's striking from the performance test that he did is if you look at the performance difference between SAS and SATA in an all-flash configuration, now it's almost negligible. I mean, we started discussing why, and the reason is fairly simple. Most flash devices that those guys have are extremely fast, so they drain the queue extremely fast as well. He said the chances of you filling up that queue depth of 31, pretty slim.
Yeah, very very few people are going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an interesting fact.
All right. Well, outside of sessions, I know you've been here all week. I know a lot of people like to, you know, come here to do, you know, the connection with networking, anything like that. Any meetings that you met, any customer conversations that stood out for you this week?
Yeah, no, to be honest, in general, I don't like people, so I get that. No, I mean, we had a bunch of customer meetings. I met a lot of customers on the show floor, which was interesting because then you have more like an organic conversation and people, you know, tell you about some of the challenges that they have, what they implemented, and, you know, there's some cool use cases flying by. I was just talking to one of the vendors actually sitting behind you. I'm not going to mention the name because the use case isn't public yet, but they... Okay. They just sold 60 nodes in total for a company that has an X number of cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
So they deploy vSAN in a 4-node configuration on the cruise ship.
On the cruise ship.
Yeah, and what happens is, you know, the boat goes out, stays out for a week or two, and then as soon as they come back, they sync the data when they dock, and then it goes out again. So that, you know, it was a what an awesome use case, right? vSAN on a cruise ship.
They sync the data. I like it. I like it. Play on words. Do they sync the data?
Sync. Yeah. Well, let's hope not. But so I'm guessing that they will need someone to help setting it up. So I've already raised my hand. Hopefully, I can help them and get a nice cruise out of it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So any sessions that you've seen this week that stand out to you?
I've seen some excellent sessions. Actually, today I was in two sessions that I really enjoyed. Actually, I was in three sessions. I shouldn't forget the session by my manager, Christos, because otherwise I'd probably get fired. But yeah, that Christos' session was really interesting. It was more forward-looking. You know, what's the vision of vSAN? He was doing that with Vijay, who's the lead on the lead for storage and availability
right.
in general as a PM. And that session was interesting because we're talking about, you know, what are we looking towards doing in the upcoming years.
Mm-hmm.
But more interesting for customers probably was the session by Christian Dickman. And then later on there was a session by Shobana Michael. First of all, the session by Christian and Junji was there as well, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Was about the management aspects of vSAN and what we're doing in the near future to improve some of the management capabilities. So, for instance, he showed like four or five demos, and one of the demos that he showed was Update Manager.
Right, right, right.
Not only updating vSphere, but also doing the BIOS and iDRAC. So it was a Dell system, so I did the firmware for iDRAC from one version to another version, did the BIOS at the same time, upgraded vSphere, and then did a single reboot. Because as Christian said, I had been moaning about the multiple reboots with VUM for a long time.
Sure, sure.
You know, and if you can shave off one reboot, that means, you know, 20 minutes less per host. If you have 10 hosts,
adds up.
It adds up quickly. So that was one of the cool demos that they've shown. The other one that I felt was really interesting is they developed a new tool for GSS for support. And what it does, it connects the phone home data for a support engineer to a customer. So if a customer phones up and says, I have this particular issue, instantly the support engineer can look into your environment. He doesn't see, you know,
data.
He doesn't see the actual data, but he will see, for instance, what the errors are in the health check. He's capable of actually looking at the performance in depth. There's all these different things that he can now do. So that was an amazing session. The session after that was by Shobana Michael, as I said, and that one was also very interesting because they were talking about vSAN data protection. So as some of you may know, vSAN data protection is a new solution that's coming up at some point in the near future, potentially, and it's going to be amazing. They were talking about, you know, this new snapshotting mechanism that's capable of doing up to 100 snapshots per virtual machine. But then they were talking about how you could schedule taking those snapshots in those environments. So yeah, that was I was blown away by that. And they had a couple of cool demos showing, you know, all of the different capabilities, creating those snapshots, restoring those snapshots, you name it.
And my favorite part, and this is what's really cool about VMworld, I saw Christian Dickman last year do his session on futures and on vision.
Yes.
And the cool thing is like a lot of the stuff that he was talking about last year
I think everything is shipped, actually.
Yeah, it's all shipped. Yeah, it's all in 6.1. Yeah.
Yeah.
The vSphere Update Manager. But by the way, John just appeared out of nowhere.
I don't know what happened.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, we've been talking for half an hour and all of a sudden, poof.
Sorry, guys. I was like in the farthest corner. I just vMotioned over, so.
I guess he was sleeping, right?
Yeah. He's getting his hair cut.
Oh, yeah.
No, you actually just came out of a session yourself, right, John?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I almost had overlapping sessions. And like, there must be like a complicated tool like Excel used to schedule these on the back end. But yeah, I just came out of a session on HCI. And we were working with Western Digital SanDisk in terms of talking about flash components as well as Mellanox on the networking side in terms of all the components and hardware that feeds up towards, you know, driving a good outcome. There's a phrase I love to steal from Duncan of it's the hardware revolution that made possible the software-defined revolution. Because if we were still on 10 megahertz and, you know, two core processors,
right.
You know, and slow disk, none of this stuff would work.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Speaking of Dickman's session, when is that?
It was this morning.
That was this morning? Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock. So you missed it.
There's
a recording, so no worries.
Yeah, that is the best part, because if you go to VMworld, make your connections, try to attend as many sessions as you can, but if you miss them, you can see them online. That's the best part.
Yeah, exactly. You can, you know, see them online and go look for William Lamb's script to scrape them all and
download everything to your laptop.
That's a thing, right? That really is a thing.
Yeah, yeah, he did it, and then whatever the backend system obfuscated it, and then he wrote another script to get past the obfuscation and do it again. So
there is no stopping William Lamb. The guy
really
is a beast.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. Well, there's only one thing left to do here at VMworld, gentlemen, and that's to go see Blink-182. So I'm going to let you guys go, and yeah, enjoy the rest of your trip.
Cool.
You
rock on.
Yeah, you should play us out, you know, with...
there of course. We go. I knew it was coming. I'm a step ahead of you, baby.
Ah.
Let me guess. Let me guess.
I am profoundly dumbfounded.
I am. I am. That's an appropriate use of that soundbite.
Oh, yeah.
Right, oh, great. Now he's got a recording of that.
Enough of this jibber jabber.